Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Right, turning very quickly now to Burhan Hanif. Burhan is going to be discussing some of the issues regarding good governance in the Muslim world and how is it that a future Khilafah state is going to establish a stable, accountable and a representative government. Burhan Hanif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد الأمين الذي جاء بالحدى ودين الحق ليظهر على دين كله وآل آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم brothers and sisters inshallah and welcome to all the non-Muslims in the audience inshallah I'll make an effort to be brief but I've been given a good role model in brother Sajjad we know of the brutal regimes that exist in the Muslim world, repressive, totalitarian. We also know that they've been propped up by the Western governments. It's not surprising, however, that also the Western media and the politicians have sought to malign the Khilafah by giving it the same characteristics of being repressive, of being violent, of being totalitarian. Briefly, I want to put the record straight. The Khilafah ruling system is representative, accountable, and bound by the rule of law. By mentioning these characteristics, I'm not attempting to legitimize the Khilafah within the political framework of Western secularism, as if to suggest that Western political values and institutions are universal and the standard for good governance. They are not, and Western secularism does not have a monopoly or the bragging rights to these characteristics. In fact, today, where torture is sanctioned, communities live under scrutiny, intimidation, surveillance, and rights are being eroded. It seems Western governments are increasingly becoming like the oppressive regimes in the Muslim world. Actually, these characteristics of good governance of the Khilafah ruling system are defined, embodied, and implemented upon the Islamic Sharia, which is its sole base. In light of this, I want to make the following statements. One, the Khilafah is not a theocratic state, since the ruler in Islam is not a divine appointment, nor is he above the law, nor is he unaccountable. Two, the Khilafah is not a dictatorship, since the ruler cannot come to office by force, nor is he above the law, and he cannot prevent society and its institutions from accounting him. Three, the Khilafah is not a monarchy. There is no hereditary rule in Islam, since the person who will be the Khalifa is elected by the people. Fourthly, the Khilafah is not a totalitarian or a police state, since ruling is not by force, and the ruler cannot impose his own rules in violation of the Sharia, or through a security apparatus that governs by intimidation. Likewise, there's no food policing, since citizens of the Islamic State, the Khilafah, are not obliged to believe in the Islamic values, but rather they are obliged to observe its laws. So, where are we with all of this? What actually then is the Khilafah? The Khilafah is a defined ruling structure where the Khalifa is elected to represent the people in managing their affairs according to the Islamic Sharia. He is elected using a style that would indicate popular support, for example, elections, whether direct or indirect. But the mere mention of the fact elections should not assume in our thinking the Khilafah, therefore, is a democratic state. It is like saying that because a chair has four legs and a dog has four legs, that they are the same. They are not. And I leave it to imagination which one's the chair, which one is the dog. Khilafah bears no resemblance to democracy in its sources, in its principles, or in its structures. In Khilafah, there are no periodic elections, unlike democracy, and political parties do not compete for power, for government. Rather, the Khalifa remains in office indefinitely unless he resigns, dies, or violates his contractual conditions. The absence of periodic elections does not inhibit accountability. Instead, the Khilafa has continuity and society is insulated against expedient policies, smear campaigns, false promises, and influence of corporate interests which characterize Western elections and policy making. The Khilafah is a centralized rule with a decentralized administration that will use the most modern techniques to deliver local services to the people. The Khalifa will appoint governors, walis, and assistants to help him in the management of the state's affairs. As the Khalifa is an executive, not a legislative position, he is restricted in his actions by the Islamic Sharia. Therefore, he cannot legitimize what is prohibited, like torture, or detain indefinitely without charge, nor impose taxes that have no Islamic basis. The Khalifa cannot disregard the legitimate rights of citizens. He would not adopt laws, nor interfere in matters related to the personal life, nor enter the privacy of the home. Finally, in terms of checks and balances, the Khalifa is directly accountable to all the various institutions within the state. This includes political parties. It includes an elected consultative assembly. It includes the Ummah itself. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, أَفْضَلُ jihad, كَلِمَةُ الْحَقْ عِنْدُ sultan jair. The great jihad, the best word of jihad is the word of truth to an unjust ruler. There is an independent judiciary, and the Court of Unjust Act is responsible to investigate and resolve violations committed by the state. Where violations occur, this court has the right, and let's be very, very clear, where clear violations occur of his contract of ruling, if they occur and it has been proven categorically that there has been violation, the court has the right to dismiss the Khalifa from his office. In conclusion, it should be clear to us all now that the Khilafa has a structured alternative system of governance, and it cannot be dismissed so easily by this deliberate disinformation that we find today in the Western media and at the hands of Western politicians.
JazakAllah khair, Brother Burhan. Okay, let me ask you some questions that we've gathered from our website. Questions have come in regarding the subject of representation, the subject of accountability, and the real difference between your proposed or our proposed Khilafah system and the Western systems that provide some level of accountability and representation. So firstly, to start with representation. I mean, you say that the Khalifa will be representative, i.e. he will be voted in by the people, by the Muslims living in the Khilafah state. Okay. How is that practically going to be done, firstly? And secondly, is that a stipulation from Islam, or are you developing a representative system based upon the norms that currently exist within liberal democracies?
JazakAllah khair. As I mentioned in my brief outline, that the fact that there are comparisons and similarities that one may find or identify between the Khilafah and Western liberal democracy, it doesn't mean they are the same. And in fact, as I mentioned categorically, the source for defining the structure and the principles of ruling within Islam are established solely upon the Islamic Sharia sources.
Sure.
And secondly, though the terms may be the same, their manifestation and the implementation are not necessarily the same.
Sure.
So as I give the example, though there is representation, this representation doesn't mean political parties that compete for power, whereas we find this in the West. So if I tackle your first point then, which is how would the Khalifa practically be appointed?
Yeah.
Well, first we need to have candidates.
Sure.
During time of the Khulafa Rashida, we find various stars were used in order to identify a list of candidates. In the case of Abu Bakr Siddiq, he canvassed the people, and from that he was able to identify Umar ibn al-Khattab. In the case of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he identified six people as candidates from the Ashura Mubashara, who then from amongst themselves will choose a single person that the people will give the contract of bay'ah to. This contract of bay'ah is a contract which makes a person from a candidate become a khalifa and a ruler over the Muslims. So today, by analogy as a style, we have this elected consultative assembly or the Majlis Ashura. They will shortlist six candidates, and these six candidates will then go to the people with their manifesto, and from that they will be elected.
Okay, just a specific point. Who elects the Majlis Ashura? Is it elected by, is it the caliph who puts his cronies into position, as an example? Who elects the Majlis Ashura?
You know, we have the hadith of beautiful Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the second pledge of Aqaba, when he took the oath from 75 people, 73 men and 2 women, which indicates women's participation in politics directly.
Yes.
That he said to them in return, go back and appoint from yourselves 10 naqib, 10 people that will represent you and look after your affairs.
Okay.
Which means that the people who appoint those who represent them on this elected consultative assembly will be the citizens themselves.
Okay, good. Okay, we've got a very interesting question regarding how the Khalifa will rule. Now, we find increasingly here in the West, we're developing societies which are very much centered around CCTV, surveillance, you know, phone tapping, and various other devices to try to control, one would say, or try to develop an understanding of what citizens are up to. Would such an environment exist within the Khilafah state?
I mean, this is more akin to a police state.
Sure.
And as what we mentioned at the beginning, that in this, the Khilafah is not a police state at all by any stretch of the imagination. Citizens of the Islamic State are not obliged to believe in Islamic values. I don't have to say I like fish and chips in order to value that I'm British or not British. This is how it does not work within the Khilafah.
Sure.
The issue for citizens is that they abide by the Sharia, that they recognize there is state law and they must observe it. So in terms of this, no, they will not, though there may be CCTV, we've got to understand the context of this. Now in the West, what's the reason for CCTV? Primarily it's to do with social issues. Look to the values which exist in Western societies, where the prime aim isn't about ethics, isn't about morality, isn't about spirituality, isn't about having society which is stable on a social footing.
Yeah.
It's about material gain or sensual gain that leads to all the social convulsions which we see today.
Sure.
And that is the prime aim of why we see CCTV existing in the West.
Good.
And unlike in the Islamic society.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.